this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills. Episode 41, the manic episode 41. To our Spanish speaking audience,
welcome. Let's get a little jazzy.
I feel
it's
a
jazzy episode of Chrome Bills.
Mm-hmm. Let's just relax and have some coffee.
Smooth out, yeah.
And just vibe out for a second.
Just an Earl Grey tea for me, Steve. Almond milk.
I will have a chai.
Would you have a cup of coffee, a couple cigarettes, and just calm down?
Yeah.
I'd rather drink a lot of a depressant to make me feel better.
Right.
Real quick, shout out to producer Broadway.
Shout out.
Big shout
Tone.
Out.
Tone. Tone. This monopolizing is Gmail inboxes at an account near
globe.
You.
All over the globe. This is a Tone beat here in the background.
Did nice. He email it to you?
He did email it to
and
me.
And then each individual sample?
Yes.
In a separate email?
Yep.
Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a friend that does it, you know?
He's good, man. He keeps me entertained.
Yeah.
He keeps everybody entertained and, you know, keeps the creative juices flowing.
Gotta have that.
Check him out online, SoundCloud and Twitter and Instagram. I believe it's Broadwizzy.
Broadwizzy.
With two Z's like ZZ Top.
Hmm. While you're on a computer already, you can also check out Chrome Bills on SoundCloud and on iTunes.
And the phone has not been ringing off the hook, but if you want to hit us up, it is 612-888-DIFF.
DIFF!
DIFF.
DIFF. Maybe it's the pronunciation of DIFF has been throwing people off.
D-I-F-F.
And there's a lot of voicemails being left at 612-888-DIP.
It's not DIP. DIFF. As in different styles. Yeah. We got a new group in different styles.
Well, hold on.
Can I just introduce them?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
We got a new
Surf and Turf?
No, the group's name is MMFC. It stands for Minuscule Mouse Flower Child, and we have a new album out called Chicken. So be on the lookout for that.
This is a beat off that album, right? This is the title track?
The first title track is Earl Grey Tea.
Featuring chai tea.
Featuring chai tea.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a sponsor for tonight's show.
Who's that?
Steve and I earlier, we were outside talking about the most recent Vice episode where they say that the world's going to, what was it, 20 minutes?
30 minutes.
So, I mean, yeah, 20 minutes, 30 years, same difference. So there's a gas station now that's just like, fuck it. You know what? We're only going to be here for a short amount of time. They're called to top it off, and they encourage you to top it off every time. Smoke cigarettes while you're walking around.
You fill up your tank, and then you actually spill some on the ground on purpose.
You just pour some in the trunk. Put in the back seat, have your little kids bring their sippy cups, just dump gasoline.
No, here's what they do. They have little miniature baby seals that walk around the gas station, and you actually pour gasoline on them.
And then oil, and then you light them on fire.
And then you light them on fire.
No, and then you put the seal in the gas tank, right? Get as much of it off of the seal.
You run it over first.
Well, let me ask you guys. I'm sorry.
You put the seal back in the what used to hold the windshield washer.
Right.
Hey, we've talked about the Redskins, and I feel like that's a name that I'm like, I won't buy anything from them. I feel like it's a racist name. How many of you guys, or how many of our listeners out there, please let us know. You can follow us on Twitter at Chrome Bills. The whole BP incident a couple years ago, I mean, when it happened, I was like, I'll never go back there. And honestly, since then, I can't remember going, but I can't tell you that I haven't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
We need to have a little bit more accountability.
You think we need to let our pockets do the talking?
Me, I'm going to take my money to a place like To Top It Off, where you get treated right. You get third degree burns, you know, mm-hmm. but you get treated right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
One thing about BP is that they are conveniently located. So, you know, they're making it real tough. Yeah. You're going to make a U-turn for Exxon like they're that much better? I don't know.
I wonder if those started popping up too when they didn't get sued or like nothing happened to them and they're just like,
whoop.
Why would I give a shit now?
People forgot.
Right. I'm McDonald's now, bitch.
They just have to record like one commercial with a woman in a suit like rinsing off a baby duck. Right. Like all is well.
Well, I remember the video too of just shit spouting into the ocean
for
weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's just a distant memory.
We're not even thinking about that.
No. I just want a Zagnut, a Dr. Pepper, and a full tank of gas.
Ugh. We're terrible.
What's funny is if you guys watch The Americans, it tries to recreate the mid-80s, I guess. It's a show on FX about some Russian spies during the Cold War. And it was funny because they went to one of the, like, really old gas stations in the last episode, and it made me think about like they were using this soda machine as a place they would hide information, you know, it's like before the digital age. Mm-hmm. And it was like a Tab soda machine. It was like sugar-free Tab, and they'd show up and get a soda and drop like a piece of paper under it, and it was at like it was either at like a Chevron or just one of those that you don't see very often. Yeah, it was like a Heinz. They got a slush puppy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when I watch things like Mad Men or sort of period piece stuff, I look at the stuff on... That's tough to say without a spicker, like period piece.
Please.
When I look at like the clothes, all the different styles of things in the 60s, I'm like, yo, that shit's dope. The Americans does a good job of capturing the 80s, but the 80s sucked. Aesthetically, the 80s were whack as shit. I feel like very boxy. Like people had beige in their living room, just real drab bullshit colors. I wasn't feeling that.
That a lot of decades are defined by what the common drugs were. And I feel like the 80s, it was like caffeine and coke.
Right.
Uppers.
Somebody just shows up at your house. Hey, do you have any coke? Do you have any caffeine? I need a cigarette. Do you have any coke?
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down, man. The 90s will be here soon and you can start doing acid again. It'll be cool. Just gotta wait.
90s was heavy weed decade, right?
Yeah.
Very heavy.
Nothing compared to now, because now that people are inching towards things being legalized, they're coming out the woodwork.
It's about to be.
Everybody's like, yeah, I smoke.
One of the things I miss the most about the 90s is that the hip-hop stations in D.C. always had some cool acronym, or like not acronym, but slang name for what year it was that you knew, like on January 1st someone said. They'd be like, it's the 9-double-tray. Like that's 96, okay. Right.
Well, but there is the aspect of like if you heard it on January 1st, like man, that's kind of corny, and I gotta listen to this for another 365 days.
The 9-pound.
I might just tune into Chrome Bills.
Yeah,
that's what I would have listened to back in
2000. Quizatro.
Oh God, it is 2014.
It's speaking the 9 time, nickel.
Speaking of time flying.
Yeah.
I'm out. Oh, the 2-double touchdown. Sorry, had to get that in.
You guys already know this because you've lavished me with gifts since the moment I walked into the Haleo Studios.
Okay.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh.
For those of you hearing this next Monday when it gets posted, you can, you know, send me cards and all that stuff, belated, that's fine. So, time's moving, man.
This is actually going to be 2 Mondays from now.
2 Mondays.
We're on a stagger.
It's never too late, though.
The stagger!
Stagger!
That was extra loud.
That's so loud.
That was extra crispy.
I love that the Buckhands. I used to always wonder if he had that emphasis on every single word. He'd be like, I can't carry all this. Where is a grocery bagger?
All right.
Moving on.
All right.
What do you got, Steve?
I have sweet potatoes written down in front of me, and I'm not sure why.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Sounds like it should be like an Apollo Brown album name.
Sweet potatoes.
It's actually the name of an album I did with Father Scott,
okay,
Jesus, and future guest, Napoleon the Legend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is he a future guest?
Hey, nice. I was going to say, Kate Crump, can you reach out to Napoleon and see if he'd come on?
Yeah. He lives in New York. I can get him over here, I'm sure.
Cool. He's ill, man.
I met him playing basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you had met him just rapping in Maryland.
We had a basketball class at the University of Maryland. We were in the same, and we were on the same team, hit it off. Uh-huh. And he was like, yeah, I rap. I was like, oh, shit, me too. This is another thing we can do. So we started hanging out.
Cool.
I think... Is that how I eventually met you, Chuck?
I was about to say that. The first time I ever actually met you, you were over at Kareem's dorm room, and Kareem being Napoleon the Legend, and I lived across the hall from him. And we had freestyled a couple times. I was very, very amateur MC status at this time. And I remember he was like, yo, one of my friends that's like a good rapper's coming by, and we're going to work out some song. You should pop through. I remember I jumped in there. Shit, you guys were working on like five MCs. It's like an Anonymous Crew song.
Yeah, I do remember that. And you didn't stay long, but you definitely, I do definitely remember meeting you.
Yeah, I was in there maybe like, you know, 20, 30 minutes. By not staying long, you guys were probably working on the track for like 4 hours.
I saw him. I was like,
who are you?
Mm-hmm. But then I remembered the name. Yeah, I remember sitting in it. That's crazy, man. I don't have many memories from college, to be perfectly honest.
No.
A lot of them had to do with music, but...
It segues me into something I want to talk about. Napoleon the Legend's like a very complicated rap name, but it's not one that someone would mispronounce.
Right.
And just last weekend, I was like in a conversation where I swear within 3 minutes of each other, someone mispronounced two different rappers' names.
Okay.
They referred to Nas.
No.
And my other favorite, they're actually referring to seeing them in concert this year.
Nas, I saw Nas.
Nas, and the other one was Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi, man.
And it was a girl who's not very into hip hop, so like I'll let it slide. But it did get me thinking, where I was like, you know, there's certain names, like there's some about being Method Man, you know, like no one's messing up Method Man.
Method right. Man.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, far be it from me to criticize somebody for not knowing something about Rakim after I stupidly said that Eric B. made whack beats. But I was talking to this dude and he's like, yeah, I miss, and this was the thing that got me, because he was like, man, I miss that early 90s, like late 80s, early 90s stuff. Rakim?
No,
like,
he didn't say that.
No, it's Rakim. Yeah. I definitely heard Eric B. and Rakim. I've heard people refer to it as that.
Well, so as we're talking, I was like, yeah, man, I thought Eric B. and Rakim were dope. And he was like, oh, is it Rakim? I was like, I mean, you say it how you want to say it.
Say it however you want to.
But if you're going to bring it up and I have to say it, yeah. I'm not going to fuck it up just to make you feel better.
Are there any other ones that immediately come to mind for you guys?
I'm doing some brainstorming.
K-Chromosome. C's Mice. Yeah. I mean, somebody today was like, how do you pronounce your email address? It's just C's Mice at, you know, whatever. He's like, what the fuck do you mean? How do you pronounce it? How dumb are you?
Let's get into track number one here.
Nice.
This is Phoenix by Napoleon the Legend.
Yeah, this shit bangs. Episode 41, Chrome Bills. Wait in anticipation and enjoy.
Rhythm in my hemoglobin, bars that I get them open, message and emotion, can't stop it when it's set in motion. Metaphors is metamorph mixed with metaphysics, medicine for the ill, I'm sick by definition. Lost sighted in the bodybuilder's definition, with an undying will, my mother said I never listen. Never been pessimistic, I'm penicillin, penning the realest above the knowledge that the genesis revealing. The premise of a villain, fooling the mind of children, chasing the finer things, so who am I to share some wisdom? We used to shout women like buckets of fried chicken, jacking up my blood pressure, triglycerides and lipids. Visualize a vision, no television needed. They tell us lies, we listen, not irrelevance depleted. They try to sell us the secret, our fellowship was weak and eloquent speeches they developing to try to reach us. Knowledge that's out of Egypt, demolishing my demons, pay my dues, full of hard knocks, no scholarship was needed. Rocking the Colosseums, accomplish it if you perceive it. Anyone who lives a lie and can find the truth is genius. Walking in newest sneakers, bass thumping through the speakers. Crowd eager for Poe to drop bombs like a new receiver. New school leader like Buster and Charlie Brown. Kiss the tarmac like the Pope when I hit solid ground. Pay my dues, pay my dues. Pull the hard knocks, the scholarship was needed. Anyone who lives a lie and can find the truth is genius. Pay my dues. Pull the hard knocks. The block is full of cops, my stomach is full of knots. Bodies drop when the bullets pop. Other side, booties drop when the wreck is hot. Half these rappers fruity pop like some leopard socks.
I'm deaf like leopard when I rock. X marks the spot when I pop. The market drops when I sell a stock. Some say I better stop, wanna see the legend rot. I make the presses stop every time a record drops. Rougher than Belarusians with excellent execution. Hustle and sell acoustic, customers can tell the truth is Bo, Ferro Gum, call me the Ferro Don. I touch the mic with the hand of God like Maradona. Premeditated murder of a prima donna. In Brazil with three mulatto chicks, they used to dance lambada. While the beats try to lobotomize us, a lot of shysters. I'm shining bright, kid, you should buy a visor. Like Elijah Muhammad, my knowledge is anabolic. And I'm the product of that thing that they swore they abolished. Harbor the pain of our forefathers inside a belly. In my double helix, the phoenix arrives like Machiavelli. Pay my dues, pull a hard knock, the scholarship was needed. Anyone who lives a lie and can find the truth is genius. Pay my dues, pull a hard knock, the scholarship was needed.
Yo.
And we're back.
That was a banger.
Begin scene.
Dude, one of my Phoenix favorite things. Go ahead.
No, please, you go.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite things about Kareem style, right, is this like reuse of words or like the roots of words and homonyms, and like there'll be these sentences that like ill chromosomes and genes, Mike made a chrome under the jeans, you know, like right. It's like that same shit. Right. And it reminded me, he has a verse, I swear, where he uses every permutation of the word foreman. Like on work, like he's out there, he's the foreman when he's performing, watching you like the foreman, would you do that foreman? Like it's so fucking ill. Wow. It's like 8 to 12 bars.
Did you say permutation?
You know what I meant.
Okay.
What is the word I'm looking for?
Permutation.
Yes.
Percolation.
Well, MC permutation.
Speaking of errors, I just wanted to say from errors and omissions and additions, errors having Dez and Mitch on last week.
Of course, additions. No.
Thank you for. This is going to be two episodes from them, but check out the Horse album on pigfoodrecords.com.
I got an errors and omissions for Dez.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me a text and said, errors and omissions. Special Ed didn't sing I've Got It Made. That was Ed OG.
Okay.
Which is wrong.
Not feeling that.
No, he was wrong. He's okay. Worldwide, thinking about, we're known for that. Special Ed.
Did you let
him
know?
I wrote him back. I was like, yeah, he did make that song. So.
And what did he say to that?
He's like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
It was good.
It's closure. Everybody's happy.
We also have, Chuck, I don't know if you want to handle this one or not.
Yeah, I will. There's an Ed OG song with a very similar title, right?
Yeah, I gotta have it.
I gotta have it. There you go.
Yeah.
So it's just a difference between what each rapper has got.
One's gotta have it and one's got it made. Although, I don't know. Dez could be just the most sarcastic dude on the planet and he was clowning us.
I'm going to make a very insightful remark right now.
Yes.
Sarcasm doesn't travel well over text and
it
emails.
It does not.
I don't think anyone's ever said that, so I'm just going to be the first to say it. That's a joke. That's me being sarcastic in person.
Wow. That was deep.
I mean, how many times? I've had that happen several times.
Yeah.
Where I'll write, someone's like, what the fuck are you talking? I'm like, yo, I'm joking, but I get why you didn't see it as that, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, you're a sensitive pussy.
I am. Extra sensitive.
Not you.
Extra sensitive with a side of fries. Okay, Chrome.
Oh, yeah. The last one, too, was on... What was the episode Hickey was on? Was it 38?
38, yeah.
On 38, we were talking about Merce, and I referred to a song on the 316 album that Ninth Wonder did. I knew nothing about the song. I couldn't remember the name. How I identified the song was that it had three beats. And then I took a guess at about 9 different titles. So shout out to Baildozer, which I think is Bailey, right? That you know, Cole?
Yes.
Did list the song name, put some other commentary, but did correct me and say it was only two beats, which I went back and checked, and it is definitively three beats.
It was definitely three beats.
It's a very dope track, though. I was actually glad that I went back into... to go check it out, because that's one of my favorite Merce tracks, and honestly one of my like 5 or 6 favorite little storytelling joints that any rapper's ever done. So Respect, check it out. The song is called Walk Like a Man. It's on the first Mercer 9th Wonder album called 316.
So speaking of rappers whose names we don't know how to pronounce, is it Merce or Merz?
I'm going to go with Merz, like a Z at the end.
Chuck, what say you?
I think it's Merz, but was I just saying Merce?
I think you were just saying Merce.
I think it could be either. I mean, but it's like you're talking about, Chuck. Like, that's one of the, there's right. enough, like, gray area. Here's a fun fact about that album, actually. There's a guy named Chaz Kangas, who's a really good writer. Google him. His stuff's all over the place. He wrote an article about how that album dropped on the same day as the ID and Abilities record ENA Day and Mad Villain.
Okay.
And God so damn. It was called, and he was like, was this the greatest day in independent hip-hop history? Because all three of these records that were pretty iconic, particularly when you think about it, the Mad Villain shit, like what that set off. Was that
the era of collaborations?
Well, that or like Doom's whole, like his whole, I don't think he, I think that was the
first one,
the beginning of his emergence with all that shit. Yeah, so I mean, kind of an interesting little thing.
Okay.
You know,
which album is The Red on?
That's on J-Lib.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, that's J-Dilla and
J-Dilla and Madlib.
Do you know this song?
You're dead.
You're dead, that's what I said. I always like this beat. This is a great beat to freestyle.
Oh, the beat is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of new music that's coming out, I saw that Nick Cannon has a new record out called White People Party Music.
Do tell.
And in a very cliche way to draw controversial attention to the album, he did a video where he dresses up in whiteface and does the comedian white voice, the I'm so confused right now, what do I do?
Oh god.
There's predictably a lot of backlash.
Hey, you know, I mean, you're seeing white privilege in action with something like that.
We are certainly lame.
What a bunch of bullshit. I hate that shit, you know. I really like, if a white dude came out doing some shit like that, like, I'd feel the same way. You're just an asshole. What are you doing?
We used to call him when he hosted America's Got Talent or one of those shows, he was always like dancing behind the scene if he was really feeling the act. And I've only watched the show like once or twice, but the one time my friend and I were laughing so much because he called him Nick C. Douche.
Nick C. Douche?
Which I'm guessing was like a Ryan Seacrest reference.
Okay. All right, that ties it together a little bit.
Yo, hold on. I just pulled up a picture of Nick Cannon in whiteface, and it's kind of funny, dude.
Straight racist.
Yo, look at how funny he looks, yo.
See, the thing, I always thought that Dave Chappelle,
for the record, I'm not mad at this at all. That's fucking hilarious.
Like, the Dave Chappelle white newscaster was really funny, because I think if you're gonna go whiteface, you have to give a profession to it too, because there's a very big difference between like a white heavy metal guitarist and like a white doctor and a white newscaster. And I don't mean to go with jobs of privilege, like a white homeless guy.
Wow, you really did.
Well, but see, this is the thing, and you bring up an interesting point with the Chappelle show thing. The reason I liked it and thought it was funny was because it would show a ridiculous interpretation of a white person, and then you'd have the mad real world, or like a ridiculous interpretation of a black person, sometimes within the same skit. Whereas what this dude's doing, that's just straight bullshit. That's just straight racist. Fuck that dude. Seriously, that's some bullshit, man.
The makeup is pretty good.
Whatever.
You don't think you look like that?
No, I don't. I mean, on top of that, you're saying the makeup looks pretty good. It looks like someone, like, he got wet, and then someone just poured flour on him, and then they gave him a terrible wig.
I've always heard from black dudes that white people smell like hot dogs. Do you think he's wearing some, like, hot... Do you think he really bought into the bit and he smells like hot dogs, too?
He got the hot dog cologne?
Fuck that, dude.
All right, I'm sorry.
Straight
I'm
up.
Sorry. Fuck him.
Not down with that shit.
Welcome to episode number 41, the Fuck Nick Cannon episode.
The reverse racism episode.
In honor of Cole's 41st birthday, it's the 41st episode of Chrome Bills.
It is the Glenn Rice episode, right?
That's a very good pull.
Thank you.
I could do better than that.
Was Glenn Robinson also number 41? He was not.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Yo, Glenn Rice bagged, what's her name?
Where I was going with it.
Sarah Palin. He was nailing Sarah Palin.
Don't you know?
You knew that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, speaking of some shit that happened a couple years ago, I was like, this should be the end of the world. You know, we were... I'm not going to say close to being a bullet away from her being president, but just the fact that she ascended that far up the ladder scares the shit out of me.
She was second place in presidency. Like, or she was fourth place.
Right.
She finished fourth in the run for president.
Although part of me does feel like she was so bad that something like that will never happen again. Mm. Like Hillary Clinton, all right, that makes sense. Like, women didn't get laughed out of it, but complete sociopaths sure as fuck did.
Oh, my God.
Because there's never been a sociopathic political office.
Glenn Rice tore it down.
Hey, I love that Glenn Rice hit it from all angles. I mean, I like it from all angles, but he probably did hit it from all angles too, which is kind of funny. And then I was actually going to go and say, if you really ran through vice presidents in time.
Yeah, there have been some really bad vice presidents.
Like Dan Quayle is one. And this is just from our short, like, you know, before they could even put these people on TV. I bet there were some dudes that were just like, hey, man, are you busy for the next 4 months? I need a VP.
Right.
We're probably not going to win, but there's a lot of banquet dinners involved.
What do I got to do? Smile and shake hands.
There's some wholesome Christian tale involved. Mm-hmm.
House of Cards, I'm all about that, and it actually follows the vice president.
You mean Veep?
No. Well, Veep does too, but House of Cards is.
I didn't realize that was about the vice president. I should probably get on that, actually. I've heard good things.
Hey. Get on that from all angles.
You should get on this vice president.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
You know, things happen. You get busy. You got episodes to mix.
Not for long.
No. I the end is near.
It's very close.
I feel like. But I'm very excited, though. Whenever I see your lovely wife, I think pretty soon these two are going to have a beautiful little baby girl. They're going to be doing what they're programmed to do.
What we are programmed to do.
You're biological, man.
Hell yeah.
You're following through.
I'm really
programmed
doing it.
Programmed to do. You're following through. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it. I was listening to a playback on, I guess it was episode 39, and we were talking about you having a kid, yeah. And Mitch was saying, you know, oh, Dizzo didn't record a song for like 2 years, and your point was that, you know, it's in my house, and I'm not really going to be that busy, but I wonder if the real break in all this is kind of the understanding of this significance, and you're like, well, I could stay in this moment with like a life that I brought on. Or I could hear Chuck, like, hop on over G-Chat, interrupt me 5 times, tell the same fucking story about Nas and fucking Cole, complain about electricity. Or I could, like, watch, I could, like, have this person who's fascinated by like, a lollipop.
I think you made this point, and maybe you had made it and Chuck reiterated it.
Okay.
It's not so much that this is of minimum value, and by this I mean the podcast.
Yeah.
It's that what the child and all that's involved with that, and taking care of your wife and everything, that is of such maximum importance that it takes over everything.
I think that's what it is.
Who can
we'll sort it out. I think
that
we could still record. Maybe Chuck just might have to pick up the mixing down process, which I think you're up for, right?
Yeah, you know what I was saying about the mixing down process, and we can continue this conversation off air, but we'll do a little bit. I think the sourced music would have to come from my end, because now that I'm able to do worldwide, we know for that. I think that we would just have the music. It would be a lot easier than you doing it over there and bouncing it back and forth, you know.
Sure.
And that way, when we think about music, you would just always know that. And keep on
making it. Oh boy.
That's a bad idea, Steve.
It is a bad idea.
I'd rather have your newborn baby have the reins.
She'll pick it out.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't be able to have the soundboard hooked up if I was doing the music on this end, but...
Let's do it.
But that would also be in post-production just going through and being like, you know what would really work there? It's like a laugh that we didn't actually play live.
Just don't. I don't want
it. Get Seinfeld on us with the laugh track.
Right.
Fuck it.
Which one is it?
The top right.
I did it. I finally got it figured out. I mean, I think the other thing about all this is that we're getting to the point where we're sort of running out of people to have on the show as guests. I think, you know, once your baby's, I don't know, 3 months, have her on.
Bring her in here.
Let her know. She just went through some shit.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like we could get the inside scoop.
Right. She's
pardon the...
She's the inside.
Wouldn't have even thought it when he said pardon the. I automatically was like pardon the pun.
I can't even look you in the eye now. I'm sorry.
That was strange.
Fucked up.
I feel like your birthday present was Steve not lunging across the table at you for for the inside scoop.
It's all right.
Can I pay for your kid's college tuition to make up for it?
Yes, you can.
You didn't hesitate.
It's, you know, I have a friend who's a financial planner at this point.
Okay.
And I asked him about how much college, how much you start saving and what do you need to save up for. And he said $300,000 to $400,000 in 18 years. That's what college is going to cost.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe she'll get a scholarship.
Jesus, that's just for what the... Oh, my God. I thought that was going to be like the whole 18 years of their life.
No.
But even that would be ridiculous.
No, college.
That's diapers in the first week.
That's... You project for college in 18 years, and you need to have...
I feel like that system needs to break, though. Like, the idea of sitting in classrooms and stuff. Actually, here's something. I didn't even mean to bring this up today, but I read it. That the government is thinking about outlawing PowerPoint in like military and a couple other divisions. Like NASA has already outlawed it because they think like education doesn't work with people sitting up there and having basically bullet points and saying and so like they were saying that in engineering and things like that where it really is a picture is worth a thousand words and like you need it up there to have a graphic and you're pointing to. But they're basically saying if someone can't impromptu speak on a topic, then they shouldn't be teaching others about it.
Yeah. We need more site visits. More hands-on learning.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I was reading an article today about this woman who she was a teacher for 18 years up in Cambridge. I think it was Cambridge, Massachusetts. And she was a kindergarten teacher. And she was like, yo, I'm so overwhelmed by like the standardized testing or like data fascination. And these are fucking six, you know, like they're kindergartners.
Right.
We got to teach them how to emotionally develop as opposed to one of the things was like a division question that based on, I think it's called Common Core, that program took 107 steps to solve. It was like, dude, this is insane.
Right.
It's completely counterproductive.
Yeah.
I wonder if education will go the way that healthcare has gone. It's like we can't price 80% of our population out of getting these things.
Right.
Well, especially if you really look at it, at the end of the day, we're not sitting at the top of the mountain anymore and looking down and saying, no, our way works. Like,
no, we're in the middle of the pack, yeah.
Exactly. We're like 25th ranked out of 200 and whatever countries and falling. Like, if this was my fantasy soccer squad, it would have an upside-down triangle next to it with a red. It would be like, you are falling. You are plummeting. And, I mean, it's not working, and economically that's directly tied to it, too. So, you know, I get on my crazy shit, but it's just not working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are playing fantasy soccer.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
When you drop that gem,
who plays fantasy soccer?
What?
Worldwide, we known for that.
No, you are known for playing fantasy soccer.
Yeah, it's bad news. The thing that bothers me about it, too, is somebody is packaging and selling that as a commercial commodity.
What?
Something like a college education or healthcare and things. Yeah. It's like, dude, like, how do you live with yourself when you're just squeezing everything worthwhile out of this and nobody gets it?
They make money, man. Universities are money makers.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because one of the authors talking about Common Core was like, yo, when you hear people say, talking about studies about where America is, don't listen to them. I was like, yo, you can't argue with stats. The one thing I will say is that if you do focus on allowing people to emotionally develop, yeah, they might have like the highest aptitude for math shit, but they're very creative thinkers. They're good at figuring things out.
Right.
Like how to go to top it off and fill up your car. Burn the place.
You know, if there was a rapper named Stats and the name of his album was You Can't Argue with Stats.
Different styles.
Let's get into another song here real quick.
Okay.
This is from the new Freddie Gibbs album.
Madlib, right?
And Madlib, yeah. Hickey emailed this to me today. And I was like, this is good enough to make the show right now. We have such a high level, a high standard here, but this is a banger. The track is called Scarface off the Freddie Gibbs and Madlib album, Pinata.
Blood, 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 blood gushing. I think I hear savage.
You'll kill a motherfucker, kill him right, man. Do the shit point blank, nigga.
Yeah.
Don't motherfucker freeze.
Like you a murder rap on
that.
Yeah, for motherfucker 187, nigga.
Chief
sniffing on that, think I hit my heartbeat. Baby smoking got me rolling stogies on the dark street. This Jackie's nigga, cause he got some shit we can't afford. Another day in Gary, another couple niggas in the morgue. He got the beat and his weed crumbs on plush seats. Niggas wanna hate, they can get a tape, the white sheet. And instead of talking, my chopping me, gonna let it rip. All the bullets that got my name on, still in the clip. Like a bitch, I was a virgin, hope she let me fuck. Pray I'm rich before a nigga bust his last nut. Homie 84 got the same rims that mine had. Freddy jumped up in it like freshman year with the dime bag. I started small time dope game, cocaine. Pulling stickers to the nigga from a no name. Diamond bezel went from pebbles to a whole thing. Now the point detectives in my section on my own name. Gibbs, nigga. No, you know about that motherfucker point blank murder, nigga. Motherfucker arm robbery, nigga. What you know about that motherfucker strong arm shit, nigga. A100. You know what I'm saying, bitch? Been there, done it. You know what I'm saying? That done it. Motherfucker ski mask. What you know about that motherfucker duct tape to a nigga face, nigga? You know what I'm saying? That real shit, motherfucker putting holes on the motherfucking ground, nigga. Whole families, nigga. Kids, everything, goddamn. Grandma, uncle, cousin, everybody on the goddamn floor, bitch. Yeah.
He makes Rick Ross sound
like Richard Ross.
Richard Ross.
In their war against the underworld.
Ricardo Ross.
That was a little quick one. All right.
Oh, we back?
Yeah, we're back. I think it was just one verse, right?
To the point. I'll
maybe
kill you.
Maybe a little bridge and whatnot.
Rob you and sell you some coke.
He said, "Guys, started off in the dope game." Pushing rocks on the block.
I
want to
hear a gangster rap that has such poor quality control that the MC gets away with saying, "I'm going to kill you and then sell you some cocaine."
In that order.
And the engineer's like, "Man, that was dope."
So like, yo, that's fresh. I want to expand on the conversation that Cole was making about how do you live with yourself if you're a part of, like, you know, the healthcare system or the education system. I think you're always like such a big cog, or such a little cog in a big machine. You don't always realize what you're doing. And I was reading today that they sentenced like 10 other people on the Bernie Madoff case.
Okay.
And you know, like, obviously there are people at the top and they're doing their due diligence, and I'm sure these people had it coming. You know, someone went and worked there and was just like, "I've been applying for jobs for like 6 months. I got a pretty good interview. Like, it was a nice offer." And they show up and they're just like, "Here's your task. Enter this data in. Here's your task. Enter this data in." And you never do. Like, I was thinking about it. You know, Steve, we have a pretty like ethical based job. But the last thing I ever think about is that between 9 to 5 is when I'm going to end up in jail. You know, like, I do some pretty wild shit off the clock, but I always think, like, as far as me actually not getting fined $1 million or going to prison, like, right, that's not actually going to happen within the confines of my 9 to 5. And I wonder how quick, or the opposite of how quick, I wonder how long it takes someone to realize when you work for a really, really, like, corrupt business. When they hire you and they're like, "Yo, we can't let him in on the secret."
Yeah, it depends on how smart you are and how much you value the money, man. You know?
Well, you brought up an interesting point while we were talking outside.
Yeah.
You're like, I think people have this impression that someone's at the wheel. And in reality, there isn't one or two, or like a, there is no like Illuminati or cabal,
right,
controlling all this.
Yeah, I think that's a fallacy that we all kind of buy into when we go to work every day, that there's somebody overseeing all of our operations, that we do everything on a daily basis, and they're looking at those tasks and making sure we're doing the right thing, when in reality the people at the top have so much going on that they can't even be bothered with what you're doing down there. You know,
they're either going to know about you because you did exceedingly well, uh-huh, or because you really fucked up,
or you fucked up really bad,
right?
But the other people, you know, to oversee all that work, it's just not happening.
Well, my point when we were talking about outside too, and it speaks to this, is that there's the collective conscious,
mm-hmm,
you know, and then that goes in ebbs and flows of what the majority of people feel and think about things. And for whatever reason, I feel like that's always been there. There's somebody, I think it's people looking for somebody to blame, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm far enough removed from the consequences of from what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. If shit goes south, like, I'll just pass it on. That's why that dude gets paid more.
Right.
Like, nah, you're just as much of a dickhead.
Yeah.
You just get paid less to do it.
Right.
But all right, so let's say, like, consulting is a very, very broad term. You know, when you think about just consulting in general, it's basically data collection and then digesting the data and then making a recommendation, right?
Okay.
So let's say you collect data, you are reviewing it, and then you're like, I don't think there's a way to make this work the way we want to. This is what happens in that environment. They say, oh, Chuck, go talk to Steve. He made that work before. He's had a similar discussion. You sit down. Most of the time, that person is like, yo, yeah. Well, no, what we did is actually if you... Because it's all like abstract science anyway, right? It's not like... So someone's like, yeah, you do this. If you model it this way, then it works. Yeah. If someone does that to you across the table for an hour, you're just like, yo, I'm constantly learning every day at work. This is another way to do it. Cool. Like 5 years later, you might find out that that's bullshit. But if someone was able to sell it on you, I mean, and the thing that comes to mind is like subprime mortgages. Like it wasn't until the fucking bottom of the economy went out and the dollar almost became worth nothing where people like, oh, you know what? Maybe like getting no documents from people is a really risky thing. And maybe only having one company that rates things is a bad idea. But up till then, it's like, yo, it worked last year, it worked the year before, and everything's rolling. So you might not automatically think this is unethical because you don't know enough about what it is.
Right. You just know the procedure, how you get paid. Oh, this is what I did to get paid this time. This is what you have to do.
Well, there's the frog in a pot theory, too. Like, if you just put a frog in a pot of water and then turn it on, slowly let it boil, like, it won't even realize how hot it's getting. Mm. You know what I mean? Because it's such a slow burn.
Frog in a pot.
I've never done that before, but...
That's a great metaphor.
Boiled a frog in a pot?
Not yet. You got any frogs?
No, I don't have any.
I got the frogs if you got the water, kid.
So we kind of went left for a minute, but that's good.
It's good. It's why we're here. It's why the listeners are here. Thank you to all the Chrome billionaires out there.
I definitely know exactly the scenario that Chuck is talking about as a consultant. And I thought, here's where I thought you were going to go, is that I thought you were going to go, oh, you can't get this result from the data that you have. Go talk to this person. They got those results. And then that person would say, well, what does your client want? And then you say, they want this. And like, oh, okay, well, then take the data and do it this way. And voila, you get what your client wants.
Well, yeah, and that's
maybe
one way.
The,
and that's,
maybe
but
not,
see, that's
maybe
clearly,
not the right answer, but...
That's clearly unethical. But like when you talk about science, right, and someone's like, you know, to anyone that's taken like beyond like a high school level of science, like there's a lot of fucking coefficients and placeholders in the formulas for stuff, and a lot of times they're listed as ranges, you know, and so someone's like, oh, I pulled this range from a book, and someone else is like, yeah, in the footnote of that book it says that if you're on the East Coast you can multiply it by 1.5, and you're like, oh, okay, cool, well, when I plug in 1.5, you know, that works. I mean, without getting too specific into what we do, like think about an N value, right? Like an end value is the most
engineer right here.
It's the most subjective shit ever.
Fantasy soccer.
This is how he does his fantasy soccer team.
Okay.
Full engineer right here.
Shout out.
Blown.
Shout out to Luis Suarez.
I follow you completely, Chuck. It's an excellent point, and I think that's another question that, you know, is like, all right, what is, you know, you acquire some knowledge, and then you hopefully translate it into wisdom, but in terms of how finite is that? You know, like the laws of physics and things, are they applicable like throughout the universe, the way that they are here on Earth? Like, we would like to think that, but we don't. I mean, there could be 8 dimensions and we don't even know. So how could we possibly say that all that shit's true? You know, that's why I'm
frightened. We only know what we've tested out.
Right.
What we can see and feel.
I know every Monday, I check out iTunes.
Right.
I get my Chrome bills.
You get a new episode.
I feel fine. You know, the Earth's spinning.
For a little while, it's going to be spinning.
What did we say, 15 minutes earlier?
Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah.
This episode won't come out.
Big shout out to Lonnie Spunani. I don't know if you guys have gotten your manzillion yet, but mine is scheduled for next week.
I got 2 yesterday.
And I'm throwing in the balls.
Are you really?
Manzillion plus balls.
Well, who's throwing the balls?
She gave me, for an extra $10, I got the balls.
The pair or $10 a piece?
Actually, I have 3, so I was lucky enough to be born with 3.
What if you walked out of there with half a shaved testicle? And you're like, anybody have $10? Please, this looks ridiculous. Just in the waiting room.
Manzillion plus balls.
This guy's like, I've been there, man, but I can't help
you. Has anybody, when are we calling Lonnie Spinani to get
right
a free estimate for C's
mics? Yo, C's, why don't you hop off mic for a second and cue that up? Let's do a one-sided call. Because I think with the time change... it would actually work. It'd be 6 o'clock right now in the, on the West Coast.
After this episode is over, we will call her and try to get it on tape. All right.
Yeah, look for that. We'll tag it at the end of this episode. That's probably the right question is to say, if I get the manzillion plus balls, but I lost a ball in a car accident, is it only a $5 add-on?
Just ball skin.
Talk breaks. How do you explain that, too?
So how do you, what is it, Lonnie, L-O-N-N-I-E?
No, there's no E. It's L-O-N-N-I-S. And then Punani. Lonnie's. Punani is like it sounds.
Yo, I don't know
kid,
how to spell Kid
Cootie.
Punani, so.
Is it Kid Cootie?
Rakim. My name is Rakim.
I think it's Mars.
Mars. Nurse.
Well, you could go a couple different directions. It could be P-U-P-O-O.
Yo, I finally finished that Wu article. Is there really a guy named Papa Wu? And who is that?
Yeah, Papa Wu.
Who is that?
Yeah, some old dude who hangs out with the Wu-Tang.
I think they said he's the de facto manager.
Okay.
And then the article proceeded to say these guys have no management and they're completely incohesive.
I bet you guys didn't know about what was RZA's brother's name, who owns half the Wu-Tang?
Right. Gary, I think.
Gary Wu.
Gary Wu. Holly Wu. That's actually a
Holly Wu.
That's a reference to the Gary Shandling show, you might not remember. Yeah. When he pulled
But you can it, see why what is it, Gary Wu?
No, it was Holly Wu. When he was like, I put your name up on the Hollywood sign, he just goes up and takes the D down.
Okay.
All right.
Take the D down.
I think his name was Brizza. As in brother of RZA?
Brother of RZA. Ali. Wasn't it Ali?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
He can go into Target and come out looking like he spent $1 million.
They said that about Capadonna, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
His
was ill. Well, they were like, yo, this dude would have been not only on Enter the 36 Chambers, but he would have been one of the top three.
He was in jail. He was in jail.
Can you imagine that? That's got to be tough to live with.
That's got to be really tough to live with.
Because it's not like he had... I'd almost rather have had no taste of that if I was him.
To come out.
You know?
Was he all over the Wu-Tang forever?
He's on it enough. I don't think he's all over it, but he's on it enough. You're like, oh, this dude's beyond like an honorary member.
Uh-huh. He's prevalent on the first Ghost album.
Okay.
Iron Man? Of course. He's on like every track.
Yeah.
Well, according to the article, too, they were all saying he's the one who taught them how to rhyme, taught them how to measure shit out. That kind of blew me away.
Yep.
Very interesting article.
I like that Master Killer was just like, I'm going to write my first rhyme and have it be on Protect Your Neck or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's like, this is the first time I've actually written something down.
And they said Killer Priest was like asleep in the studio. And that, or it wasn't Protect Your Neck. It was, I guess, the Mystery of Shadowboxing, which is okay. The only other Master Killer verse on the album. Mm-hmm. And that he had fallen asleep in the studio. There's some little nuggets in there. Like, it's definitely worth reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I'll say this about some feature pieces. And I wonder how many words had to be edited out. Take some time. It's gonna take a little bit. I read pretty fast, and it took me probably about 20 minutes to get through it.
To get through that whole article, and
there was definitely points I was like, all right, I need to put this down and walk away.
Yep.
You know, sort of losing interest. Where's the commercials that I can fast forward through?
I'm more used to a college basketball intake of stimulation, which is like, up, he crossed midcourt. That's a timeout, and we'll be back after this word from Ford Motors.
It almost sounds like a joke,
yeah.
But there are commercial breaks every 4 minutes built in. That's absurd.
Yeah.
We need, for someone who's starving for commercial viability, particularly, we need to start getting ad placements in the episodes. I think we should talk about that. We should see if we could get a commercial in a college basketball game, but every one.
We should just reach out to Ford and Bud Light.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they have so much money, they'll fucking invest in anything.
We could, you remember, we won't name names, but remember talking to dude last week where he would just call companies and basically, they have a system that rips the companies off. I bet if we got into the
matrix,
the advertising department of Bud Light, we could work something out.
Okay.
Just a little chunk. I don't want a whole piece of pie. I just want the crust.
Just like $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
For each of us.
Easy. Easy.
Lightweight money.
And I'm out. I'm not even thinking twice.
All right. What if they said,
pay for my kid?
$120,000 a year. but you guys need to all be in the same studio to do the show.
Right.
And our corporate office is in New York City. Would you guys move
120
up?
Grand?
Fuck yeah.
You're moving to New York?
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. All
right.
I mean, I feel like 120 grand, that still would go far enough in New York where you'd be cool. If I wouldn't have to do anything else. I'm just doing this. But why? Have you talked to somebody, Chuck? You're getting the wheels turning.
Steve Jarek, what about you?
Yeah, I'm in now. Of course, 100%. 120,000 a year.
All right,
how
we'll
low
talk.
Would you go?
40, how low?
40.
40,000 a year.
Yeah. I would.
You would do it?
Seriously.
Yeah, I would do it too.
In a heartbeat.
You guys are living in a two-bedroom apartment with Steve's kid in a closet in like Jersey City. You're like, this is a good idea though. Our jobs are fun.
It's a good look.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing our jobs don't involve talking to each other.
You would need to vacuum.
Yeah, it's bad.
Although I bring the cats, so I might have to vacuum. Yeah. All right, so.
No, the cats.
Episode number 41.
Cats are a deal breaker.
I'm just kidding.
That's the episode name. Cats are a deal breaker.
Cats are a deal breaker. I do want to go back to this about basketball. Cole, I know you're probably like the biggest purist, and we just finished like the 4-day onslaught of basketball games.
Cole, and policy.
I mean, like you said, it almost seems like it's a Key and Peele skit how often they go to commercial. Like, that's, I was sitting in my house and I would sit down and I'm like, oh, that's funny because it's the Thursday that the tournament started, and I just went to four channels and there were two commercials on and two of them had people talking about basketball. Okay, I'll check back later. And then even when I went to games, I'm like, dude, I honestly, I'm going to go on record. I'll probably regret saying this and get some hate mail. I can't do it. Like, yeah, it just doesn't do it to me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I hate it.
I hate it.
Like, I would be at bars to go, and I wouldn't pay attention. I mean, there is that moment where it's like, oh, can you believe this? There's a minute left, and Mercer's up. Like, those little moments I watched, but like,
right,
Mercer.
Merce beat Duke. I think it's D-U-Q-Q-K.
D-U-K. 888 D-U-K.
I watched Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I watched quite a bit of it, but invariably, I would reach a point where I would stop watch, like actively turn off a game, even if it was decent. Like, I didn't see the end of the North Carolina Iowa State game. I was like, I can't take this.
Really?
I'd recorded the Wizards game on Sunday. I just watched that all the way through, so I didn't have to sit through a bunch of bullshit.
We had a little system.
Okay.
Just watch the last 5 minutes of the game.
Okay.
Then you just tune in when there's 5 minutes left.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I did notice too, when a game went to overtime, no commercials. They played it real quick because they had to get the next team on.
They had to get the next one on.
Yeah.
You guys want to go to a quick song?
Sure.
All right. Shout out to Dez. He actually put us on to this right here.
All right.
Dez, and I forgot the Matic. Fucking artist name. Hold on. Michael. Hold up. What the
fuck? Tom Waits.
It is Tom Waits. No, this is an artist named Michael Christmas.
Okay.
Tom
the song
Waits.
Is called, the song is called Y'all Trippin'.
Okay.
I like the beat.
Have Y'all you ever heard of his brother, Carl Thanksgiving? Let that land.
Zing.
Eli
Easter. Said I was funny once.
Y'all trippin'. Y'all trippin'. Why y'all trippin'? Yo, squad up, it's the homeless man. Yeah. Tick, tick, tick. Call of Duty, go squad up. It's the homeless section. Had my nigga OG through. It's a roast session. Who the fuck brought these niggas? I say no to questions. Been losing since 9-4. So I know the lessons. Spend my money all on kicks. I don't know investments. That's what happened at 19. You get broke and reckless. Remember being 6 years old? Niggas stole my necklace. If I see them niggas again, hope they broke indebted. I be in the cut just laughing. Cause I know the blessings. Cheat code, flow, go hard or go home. E4O taught me don't love no. No ho, but I love all hoes. That's just how that shit go. Let a foe try to throw me box, I be at the dope. And I tell your friends about it, I got fans of shit, ho. Causing rah-rah, hibbity-hoopla. The super balls coming from the basement to rooftops. And y'all trippin', slippin', fallin'. Can't get up, nigga. Trippin' for a nigga.
y'all tripping, slipping, falling, you can't get up. Cause I'm finna go ham, yeah. Like Wale Gum Salam, yeah. Fuck you to Uncle Sam, Sally getting bland. Yeah. Tick, tick, tick. At least I never rode the bench. Coffee black and it's all starting to make sense. Check the stats and it's me that the odds against. Check the facts and I almost paid the rent. But this hat, nigga, no, I had to get it. Standing with my wife Sonata, need exhibit. Ride, get pimp, nigga, might get some bitches. Asian girl told me that she seen me on pigeons. Shout to John Tanners, that's the John Stock assist. Use the Gary Payton for you, get the magic on your shit. I'm the school PSA, messages from Michael Christmas. Put the guns away, let's have some fun today with drugs and drinking. The fried brain cells make you see color pictures. Got my hair long, I'm sitting on the stoop, mother, sister, I do the right thing for my fam, but the mosh pitting alcohol spitting for the fans. And y'all tripping, slipping, falling, can't get up, nigga. Tripping for a nigga. Y'all tripping, slipping, falling, can't get up. Cause I'm finna go ham, yeah. Like Wale Gum Salam, yeah. Fuck you to Uncle Sam, Sally getting bland.
Tripping.
International superstar Michael Christmas.
Okay.
Of all the new things I've been put onto by
you like
the
that one?
Show, that was the best, I think.
Cool. Yeah.
Other than Chuck's new song.
I like that. Where is that dude from?
I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend like I know.
Christmas, Indiana.
I would probably say New York. I don't know. Let's look him up. Why not?
Anybody know where the reference of I'm tripping, falling, I can't get up is from?
I'm going to play myself and say the commercial.
I was going to say the commercial, too. Is that what you're talking about?
Falling, I can't get it.
Well, Chuck? It's also, I know it's a DMX reference.
Oh, I'm slipping.
Slipping, falling, I can't get up. And then I thought it was kind of like a DMX meets Gravediggers thing, which actually went with the feel of the song a little bit, you know?
Boston. Mm-hmm. The young man is from Boston. He could be 35. I have no idea, but I figure that he's a young guy.
Yeah.
Boston.
I think like if you're going to use like in a chorus, and because Cole, when we would be writing, he always said not to use like in a chorus, then it's got to be something that just like rolls off the tongue. And I thought that it was like, because I'm about to go ham, like I like something like that, right. Shit. That's very, very, very dope.
Uh-huh. I feel like when people would use like in a chorus, it would invariably lead to just a cliche that already existed. Mm-hmm. I'm like a Rolling Stone gathering no moss. Like, dude, you can't. That's not a hook.
That's a great hook, actually.
That's just like a thought that's been around for a long time.
But if the stone is rolling, it can't gather any moss. That's brilliant.
Have you heard that phrase before?
What? Did you just think of that on the spot?
Now you're being. You should text me that. And I'm like, man, what an asshole. Oh, wait, he's kidding. I get it.
What was the Eminem chorus that you pointed out was just a group of cliches?
This survival of the fittest. No, it's do or die.
Do or die.
Jesus
no,
Christ.
No, this is winner or take it all.
Winner
so
take it all.
I'm going to
so
take it all.
God damn it. If those lyrics on that song aren't fucking
he kills
ridiculous.
I mean, amazing I get, lyrics.
But I do get that's the thing. And yeah. I do get that's what has to happen for a lyricist of that caliber to get to be, you know, played as the bumper for commercials
for the
NBA
playoffs,
finals.
During the NBA finals or the playoffs.
But
he
God,
has to
what
do
an
that.
Awful hook.
Very cliche.
I hate it.
Man, I was listening to that album the other day. I'm a stan.
I have a feeling you listen to it a lot more often than you let on.
I listen to the Eminem album. I listen to Eminem all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just bought, what's the one? Relapse with all the... With the weird voice. I bought it on CD the other day.
Hey, I mean, you got that. God. Chuck's got fantasy soccer. I was YouTubing how to shrink a wool hat today. We're not the coolest guys.
No, not at all.
I know the wool hat answer, actually. You were YouTubing it?
What do
you
got?
You gotta get it wet and put it in the dryer.
Yeah.
Whoa, get it wet and put it in the dryer. Yo, I told that girl I got it wet and put her in the dryer.
That's what I'll be doing when this podcast ends, actually.
Worldwide, we know for
whoa.
That.
Whoa, okay. Whoa. Getting
called
it wet and
called his shot.
And then put it in the dryer.
That'll work. I mean, to show you how professional we are, one of the videos that I saw, We're talking about porn now, right?
Yes.
One of the videos I saw was this kid, and he couldn't have been older than 14, you know, going step by step.
Going down a wormhole. This kid who's 14. We're talking about porn now, right?
I did think it was weird that he was naked while he was shrinking.
Oh, wow.
So he goes through the steps in 30 seconds in the video. He's like, you know, there's going to be a couple things you're going to need to do to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. You need a hat. I got that part. That's how I got here in the first place. You could have skipped that step.
You're going to need to go on YouTube.
Right. This kid's going to Common Core classes. He's taking 187 steps to solve everything.
You guys want to go into another song?
It's a lot like Cole plugging iTunes and SoundCloud to people already listening to the podcast.
True.
Well, yeah, but they can spread the word. They can tell their friends.
Preaching to the choir.
It's like, where do you listen to Chromebills? And then just automatically, it's like a trained response, like Pavlov's dog. Hit the bell real quick, actually, Steve. Hit the bell over there. Chromebills is available on iTunes and SoundCloud. Check us out on Twitter.
Here's the bell.
Just to let people
know. You don't realize that I have cubes of cheddar cheese that get dropped from the recess lights whenever that bell goes off.
Oh, boy.
Hey, yo, you must want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records as a dumb
and keep on making it. Yo, that could be, you know, how there's Storage Wars and all those dumbass reality shows? Soundboard Wars.
Soundboard Wars is good.
It's the beef.
I can only imagine.
I don't know, man. Chuck's been hitting F4 way too often lately.
I think that if there was a SoundCloud War, mm-hmm. And someone was listening to it in like Istanbul or like Abu Dhabi, you know, then we could officially say that. Worldwide,
we known for that. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
The reason I tell people where they can find us is so you can tell people where they can find us.
Good call.
Been listening to this podcast. Where can I hear it?
Right.
And then you hear my gravelly, dulcet tones. iTunes and SoundCloud, baby.
Dulcet tones.
Twitter and Facebook.
All right, we'll play another song, and this is... Let's get out of here.
Do you have any beer this week?
I don't. We can go get a beer, though.
We don't have to.
There's a little nice bar down the street. We'll go hit it up.
Okay.
Can you guys 41. Bring G-Chat to that bar?
What's that?
Can you bring G-Chat to that bar?
Yes. We can turn the phone on.
I think if we poured beer on the keyboard, it would get to Chuck, right? That's
it
how
would.
Stuff works?
That's how the internet works.
Cool.
Episode 41, thanks for checking us out.
Peace.
Word.
Then yes, Chromebills 41. The name of this episode is Chuck is Not Drunk.
Whoa, we didn't even ask. I'm proud of you, Chuck.
I'm drinking. I just only got one in.
Shit.
For some reason, I really like Heavy D these days.
Okay.
I like this brand of happy rap.
Cooling in my crib and I'm cold maxin'. Call up a cutie, I'm in the mood for relaxing. Get my phone book from top of the shelf. I dial 66. I better keep it to myself. Call up a cutie with a triple star next to it. She says hello, we conversate a bit. Invite her over for a candlelight dinner. Believe me when I tell you that this girlie is a winner. Shortly after that, I hear the doorbell ring. Turn on the radio, Anita Baker starts to sing. Open up the door and I kiss her on the cheek. She's so nice, polite, petite, so sweet. Sit her on the couch and remove a coat. Squat next to her, clear my throat. Whisper in her ear, tell her what she wants to hear. Let her know to have no fear. Heavy D's here. And girls, they love me.
She's the old way to love a Heavy D.
Girls, they love me.
She's the old way to love a Heavy D.
Take my hand, walk with me. I'm the imperial, overweight lover, MC Heavy D. Now that I've introduced myself correctly, do you have a moment to spend some time with me? Would you like a drink, maybe a pina colada, a strawberry daiquiri, some wine from Havana? It really doesn't matter, the choice is yours. And when you do it to drink, we'll take a walk outdoors. Gaze at the stars, walk down the boardwalk. Sit by the beach and talk lovers talk. Make a quick call on my cellular phone. Send for the limousine to pick us up and take us home. Ah, an enjoyable night. The mood was smooth and everything was all right. It may be hard for you, but it's easy for me. Cause girls, they love me.
Girls, they love me.
She's the old way to love
a Heavy
G. Girls, they love me.
She's the old way to love a Heavy
G. Girls, they love me.
She's the old way to love a Heavy
G.
Smooth was on stage drinking Cisco. Damien had his girl Michelle.
Of course.
Craig Boogie had a girl that I never seen before. Hey. Eddie F was home making a beat. Nick T was at the crib on 120th Street. Tootie had a cutie that was dope.
Damn.
Groovy Lou, Quan, and Little Dow was cracking jokes. Grap had the dance floor packed. Joe Black was in the corner looking mean and he was strapped. Tommy George, Jeff, and Butter was on the spot. Buying champagne for the crew, $100 a pop. Me, I was casing the joint. Clocking all the people as they stared and point. It feels really good to be Heavy D. Because the girls, they love me.
Girls, they love me.
Cause he's the